Now, let's talk about the anatomy and physiology of the musculoskeletal system real quick. Muscle itself. The very smallest part of a muscle is called the muscle cell. A muscle cell, in turn, is made up of even smaller units called myofibrils. So myofibrils are like the contractile unit of a muscle cell. Now, muscle cells are grouped into groups called fascicles. Fascicles, in turn, are grouped into actual muscles or muscle groups. Tendons are designed to hold bone and muscles together. Ligaments are designed to hold bones to bones. So they're what forms joint strength. Synovial fluid is lubricant between the joint, between the two bones. And then bursa are little pockets of fluid. How many of you have ever seen a boat? Anyone seen a boat? Now, when the boat goes into dock, do they like flip out these little plastic bubble pockets?
Yeah.
What do they call them? Bumpers. So you flip those out, and the whole idea is that as the boat hits against the dock, it's going to cushion the blow, right? Well, that's what bursa are for. They're little fluid-filled pockets whose purpose is to cushion shock in your joints. Now, musculoskeletal function. The very first one is support. It gives shape and support to your body. The next one is it allows movement to happen. The third one is protection. It protects your body from trauma. Your rib cage protects your visceral organs from being damaged. The next one is hematopoiesis, which is the production of blood cells. Now, once upon a time, there was a nursing student who took a final exam in health assessment, or maybe it was pathophysiology, pharmacology 1, or maybe pathophysiology, pharmacology 2, maybe all 3. And there was a question that said, where does blood come from? And the student did not put down bone marrow, or bone, or marrow, but put something crazy down, like, I don't know, or the spleen, or the liver. And that person got that question wrong. And it was very sad, because this person learned this in A&P 2, and then again in health assessment, and then again in pathophysiology, pharmacology 1, and then had reinforced it pathophysiology, pharmacology, too. So please don't be that nursing student. Okay. End of story. What? Blood comes from bone marrow. And then finally, it acts as a reservoir for calcium and phosphate. Some abnormalities. We have scoliosis. We have scoliosis. Any lateral movement of the spine from the straight is called scoliosis. My wife's grandmother, before she died, had such a curved spine that it looked like she had this huge hump over here. It looked like her left scapula was enormous. It was actually her spine. Now, when a person has scoliosis, what are the things that it can cause? What three kind of problems can a person have? Say again? Pain. All right, what else? If you're like this, what's happening to your loss of height? So you're not as tall as a person could be because their spine is curved. Now, If the spine is curved, what could that interfere with? Breathing. So, a person who's got scoliosis might have loss of height, musculoskeletal pain, and decreased breathing capacity or ability to breathe. Now, it's kyphosis. So, kyphosis is sometimes called the dowager's hump because it's more common in elderly ladies. So, it's the whole forward curvature of the upper spine, sometimes called the humpback. Now, what's it caused by? Is it just bad posture? Osteoporosis. And why osteoporosis? Loss of calcium in the bones. Why would that cause kyphosis? Okay, so, but how does loss of calcium cause this? Okay, so the vertebrae actually fracture and compress in on one another. So the person literally can't stand up straight because their vertebrae are broken. There's another one called lordosis, which is like this, the sway back. By the way, ladies, did you know that one of the reasons, well, the reason why high heels are popular with ladies? High heels. So, stand on your tips. Everyone, stand up. After lunch, you can stand. Alright, now, what I want you to do is I want you to stand on your tiptoes for a moment. Now, in order for you to balance on your tiptoes, what you did was you arched your back a little bit. What that did was a couple things. It brings the chest forward. It brings the lower spine and butt back. And it also compresses the gastrocnemius. So you've accentuated your bosoms, your butt, and your chest. Lordosis. It's sway back. Only mild amounts are considered attractive. Yeah, like this. No good. Gotta tuck that up. So, for good posture, what I want to do is have the, you don't want to walk around like this. What we want to do is we want to have the pelvis at a neutral tilt. We want the shoulders to be opened up and supported. Bunions. What are bunions? A bunion is on the foot. It's when the first joint of the big toe starts pushing outwards and the toe itself starts pulling inwards. Like that.
Like what?
So the knuckle of the big toe moves outwards and then the toe itself moves inwards.
Is that due to the type of footwear that they've had all their lives, or is that
It's a couple things. One is structural abnormalities that can be exacerbated by footwear with a toe box that's too tight, which pretty much describes all wooden shoes. Also, high heels can also exacerbate it as well.
The first joint of the big toe moves out.
Right. So, let me show you.
And the toe moves out.
She's cute. All right. So this is a picture. Alright, so here is a bunion. So ordinarily this should be straight, but see how this is moved outwards? This should be more or less straight. So now we've got the toe moving outward. Yeah, this is called the hallux. This is moved outwards, and then the toe is moved back inwards.
So the only thing to repair that is...
What causes it? Structural abnormalities. Some people are just more prone to them. And then it's exacerbated by high heels and shoes that are too tight in the toe.
I don't know. It could also be called bending up.
Well, it's what's inherited is the tendency to get them.
Yeah. So if you walk barefoot all year long, you might never.
Might never get it. These can be fixed primarily by surgery. And there's several different techniques that you can use. You can look up online, there's, you know, a dozen different sites that tell you all the gory details. Alright, gout. Gout is an inflammatory disease that is caused by an excess buildup of uric acid. Now, how many of you have ever made candy before? Homemade candy? Yeah. What's the basic way that you make candy? sugar, you dissolve it in water, and then you boil it. Now, when you boil water, when you boil the syrup in the water, what are you making? You're making simple syrup. Okay, now, as you boil water, what happens to the water that's in that pan? It evaporates. What happens to the solution of your syrup then? It gets thicker and thicker and more concentrated. Now, there's a point where it becomes so saturated that if you put one single drop or one single crystal of regular sugar into that, the whole thing will turn into crystals. Now, in your blood, you're supposed to have a very low amount of uric acid. But some people, for whatever reason, have higher levels of uric acid. And so those levels can sometimes begin to crystallize in a person's joint. If they do, that will cause inflammation and pain. Lots of nice pain. That condition is called gout. So it's associated with finer things in life. High in red meat and wine are two of the big things. There's a number of other things, but those are kind of the two big ones that people think about. So it was a rich person's disease back in the old days. They were the only people who could afford those. It's more influenced by genetics than simply eating those two items. So don't think that you have to stop eating meat and stop drinking wine in order to avoid gout unless you are already prone to it. The major joint that's affected by gout, the most common joint affected, is the big toe, the bunion joint. So if you see someone who's got one toe that's big, inflamed, and painful, you need to think gout. It can occur in other joints as well, but that's like the classic, most common joint. And then we have rheumatoid arthritis and osteoarthritis. What's the difference between them? Nope, they're both in joints. The word arth means joint, right? It means inflammation. Now, what is a joint structure? Describe what a joint should look like. Bone, and then?
Synovial fluid.
Okay, synovial fluid in the middle. Is there anything covering the bone? Not ligaments. The ligament joins the two together, and it prevents them from separating. But what is there anything in between those two bones, besides just synovial fluid? Okay, meniscus, what? Cartilage. So, cartilage acts as a cushion between the two bones. So, there's a layer of cartilage on each of the bones. Now, over time and use, that cartilage can wear away. And then you have bone on bone. And that's quite painful. And that's what we call osteoarthritis. It's a degenerative disorder, which means that it's a normal aging process that's happening too quickly or inappropriately. It is highly associated with use, and people who run marathons will sometimes get osteoarthritis in their 40s, whereas other people won't get it until they're 60 or 80, 90. People who are overweight and carry more weight tend to have more osteoarthritis than people who are not overweight. Rheumatoid arthritis, on the other hand, is an inflammatory disorder that is autoimmune. So we treat it with immune modulators, things that tell your body to stop being so overly inflammatory. Both of these diseases will respond well, as far as the pain aspect goes, they'll respond well to anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen. Aspirin was what they used to use to treat these, but the problem is that it would help with the pain somewhat, but it wouldn't necessarily help with the inflammation itself, because you couldn't get them to high enough doses before they start getting ulcers. Humira? Absolutely. Yeah, it's probably an immune modulator.
Why not
drugs that they use for rheumatoid arthritis is methotrexate. And you should recall that it works by inhibiting the growth of anti-inflammatory cells.
And there's like supplements to help with osteoarthritis.
All right, supplements. What is the big supplement? Glucosamine, chondroitin. Chondro means, what is chondro? What is osteo? Bone. What is chondro mean?
Cartilage.
So glucosamine, chondroitin is actually two nutritional supplements put together that help to regenerate cartilage. It's kind of individual as to whether they will get results or not. But I've known a couple people, patients and friends both, who said that taking them has absolutely transformed their lives. So, not everyone has super good results, but some people, it really helps them as far as with pain and the arthritis. All right, we are done with the lecture portion of the program. I told you it would be short today.